The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They're saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord. Friends, this week, as many of you know, I went back to Charlotte, North Carolina, where I was born and raised, for the funeral of the mother of a very good friend of mine, my sister, Sarah. And while there, I went and visited on Friday morning the church I grew up in, St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Charlotte. I'm thankful for the parish administrator, Sue Wagmire, who let me in and gave me leave to just wander around. Now, much has changed. There have been a couple building projects, but the basic layout of the place is the same. In a couple of the stairwells, I saw grooves worn into the steps that I helped put there. I saw the nursery where Sarah's mom, Phyllis, worked, and I played as an infant and toddler. And I sat in the darkened nave with the light shining through the stained glass. And I gave thanks. Thanks to my mother and father for giving me the gift of faith and of being raised in that place. Thanks to Phyllis and all those other parents and adults who worked together to raise me in that faith. And it wasn't just the programs. It was how they knew me. They knew me and what I did. They kept asking me about my football games. They knew I was in theater. How'd the latest show go? They asked me about what was going on at school. They praised me when I used my gifts at church. I was an essential part of that assembly of believers. I cannot imagine my life without that. And I am so thankful to all of them. I've just finished reading Jonathan Haidt's book, Anxious Generation. It's one that I'm inviting all of you to read, and we'll find a time and a place to discuss it this fall. In it, he makes the case that smartphones and their replacement of a play-based childhood are not just correlated with, but causes of the rise in mental illness in our children and youth. And in one section titled Spiritual Elevation and Degradation, that should tell you something about this sociologist. In that section, he makes the case that the phone-based life produces spiritual degradation not just in adolescence, but in all of us. He writes as a sociologist who happens to be an atheist. He writes about the embedded need in us as human beings for those things that call us to live a life that he describes as moving upward. That we would talk about as pulling us closer to God, more into the community and connection with the world around us. And he writes about our need our need to have a shared sacredness. How we embody that sacredness, kneeling, standing, moving, receiving, eating, drinking. He writes about the need to be still physically and mentally, to focus. How we need to transcend ourselves, be slow to anger, quick to forgive, finding awe in nature. All of which fill what philosopher Blaise Pascal called the God-shaped hole in us. I found that kind of life in my growing up years at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Charlotte. One that is informed and embodied by our readings this morning. There was a community at St. Mark's that met regularly every Sunday, that physically gathered together. And that's how we got to know each other, right? We bumped into one another every week. We shared our lives and we participated in a ritual that indicated what we were doing there was not like the rest of our lives. And that ritual provided what Houston Smith called spiritual technology, a means that lifted us up in the manner that Haidt speaks of. I knew in the organ music and the choir, in the ritual language, the Lord be with you.
Also
you got it. I knew in that organ music, the ritual language, in the sunlight streaming colorfully through the stained glass, in that shared action of rising and kneeling, that unmistakable rumble of the kneelers as they closed, I knew something different was happening here. I knew that even when I was bored and I was counting the recessed lights in the ceiling with my head in my mother's lap. Something beyond the ordinary of life was happening here because we don't do this stuff anywhere else. It wasn't formal. It was ritual. Repeated actions that have meaning beyond just those actions. Ritual tells us, it's an indicator, this is important stuff. This is foundational stuff. I learned there about taking Sabbath and being still. Something God knows that we need. We've talked about this life in the reign of God over the last few weeks being something that we participate in announcing, right? That faith is following Jesus, but it isn't just that. It isn't just about doing and being doers. Elijah was a doer. He responded to God's call in his life, and we see him in our reading after he's confronted a powerful king, accused that king of sin. He's done battle with the worshipers of Baal, has come out on top. He's been faithful. And yet his life is threatened, and he runs away to the wilderness. He's been faithful, but now he's tired. He's worn out. He's ready to quit. I think we can all relate, can't we? And what does God, what does Jesus have to say about that? Is this Christian faith all do? By no means. Jesus, as the Son of God, knows the importance of taking time for rest. God finds it is so important. God places it in the top three commandments. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Take at least one day's break from labor. Jesus himself goes away to rest, to recreate after his big ministry moments. We see this time and again in the Gospels. Just a few weeks ago, the prelude to the feeding of the 4,000 in Mark, is that Jesus tells the disciples who have returned from their joining Jesus in the mission of going out and proclaiming this reign of God that has come near, he says, come away and rest a while, because they don't even have leisure to eat. And we look at our reading from 1 Kings. Elijah cries out. He is so worn out and tired. He just cries out, just kill me now, God. I'm no better than my ancestors. And God doesn't demand that Elijah keep going. God responds to Elijah's need. Exhausted, Elijah falls asleep, wakes from his much-needed nap under the broom tree to find that God provides bread and water. He eats, lays down for another nap, and once again Elijah wakes to find bread and water, enough to sustain him for 40 days and 40 nights. That's the Hebrew Bible's way of saying a long time. God knows that we need rest. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. It's in Jesus that we find green grass and still waters of restfulness. And if rest is what you need today, you can find it here, sitting, breathing, resting in the presence of Christ. There's even bread and drink for you. The bread of life that is Jesus, a bread that gives us strength for the journey, that does not fill the belly and then go away, but sticks to our ribs, sticks to our souls. I found that bread of life at St. Mark's. In that pattern of weekly worship that was just a part of who we were as a family, which provided shape and comfort, a sense that something could exist above and beyond the mundane, what Haidt calls the profane world. I found it in the word read and proclaimed, and in the bread and wine that I ate at the table with everyone else, and it stuck. It didn't spoil, not even after a journey of more than 40 years. I'm so thankful to my parents and that assembly of believers for that gift. One that has fueled my journey to this place and time, but also one that brings me rest. And one that offers you rest if you're tired. Come, take a nap during the sermon time, if nothing else. Come eat the bread that is Christ come to you in scripture, in song, in communion. Come bathe again in the refreshing waters of baptism, that visible sign of God's claim on our lives that we can always dip into again and again. Haidt doesn't speak of it this way, but it's here, in and through the good news of Jesus, that we can, as Paul writes in Ephesians, put away the falsehoods about how life should be. A falsehood perpetuated and filled by the algorithms of online and social media life, by the lure of wealth that appeals to our base instincts and turns us inward, one that says life is about you. About your choice, your happiness, your good works, your success, your. But what it's really about is their wealth, success, good. Because your attention gives them wealth. Here's the truth that Ephesians reminds us. We are members one of another. We, all of us, are intimately connected together into a whole. So let's live that way. Let's seek the good of our neighbor. Let's care for them. And in so doing, we care for ourselves. Why? Because they're a part of us. In so doing, we find the life that truly is life. Life lived above, as Haidt puts us, pulling us up and away from ourselves. It is my fervent prayer and my work that this assembly of believers that is St. John is a place that you can find rest, that you can find the word proclaimed, read, sung, embodied in wine and bread, a word that is the bread of true life, the bread of life that sticks with you not just for today or tomorrow, but that gives you the strength for the journey of a lifetime. Thanks be to God.